Pause button. Thanks, you're back on. There's a place in Revelation, we've referred to it, Mike's referred to it. This is from Revelation chapter 4. And again, this is just the gospel according to Chucky. I believe that in this time in Revelation, of course, John gets unique visions and understanding of human history and how human history is unfolding. But I believe his experience was very similar to what all of his prayer life was like. I believe these things represent a 92-year-old man who 60 years has been this volunteer prisoner of love, bondservant, and that he spent his life leaning on his beloved's breast. And that he was haunted by that heartbeat and he was pursuing it all the time. And so I believe that because I believe that prayer happens in the throne room. And I believe that one of the things God uses our holy imaginations, all these scenes, these mythical creatures and lightnings and thunders and all the cool stuff, candles and torches, I believe that happens. I believe that was part of John's normal prayer life. And I believe this is an old man at prayer who got some unique things in this particular prayer time. And I love the fact that when we talk about God speaking, he describes God's voice as sound of many waters. But he says, one of the things he says several times, his voice like a trumpet. And I believe that visions and dreams and angel visitations of the Lord, that's God speaking to us with trumpets. He speaks to us with a still small voice. He speaks to our hearts. He speaks mouth to mouth as we study Scripture, those impressions that we get. But sometimes he makes it hard for us to ignore. And I believe that visions and dreams are part of that whole trumpeting thing that God speaks to us in. It's hard to ignore that. I believe that's why he spoke that way with Mary and with Joseph and with John. He did all those things in visions and dream form so that it's so poetic, so artistic, so colorful that you can't ignore it. Trumpet voice. But he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, after these things, and it also can be interpreted in the midst of these things. In the midst of these things, or after these things, I looked, and behold, a door continually standing open. You need to understand, there's a door continually standing open for you and me to step into that place in the heavenlies and hear from God. To live in that realm. Aren't we seated in the heavenly places in Christ? Seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above. Right? For we have died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. And so he says, there's a door standing open in heaven, and the voice which I heard like the sound of a trumpet speaking to me said, come up here and I will tell you what must take place. That's not what he said. I will show you. And sometimes God speaks to us by telling us things. Sometimes God speaks to us by showing us things. And that's the realm of visions and dreams and such. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
Years ago, some guy, I think it was Dudley Hall, did some teachings on, in Revelation, talks about there's a secret name that God has for us that only God knows. And so they were saying, like, everybody needs to find out what your secret name is. So I thought, cool, because I was looking for something affirming, like, you know, like Samson or Rock Jones, something really. Bruiser, Bronco. So I said, Lord, what's my name? And the Lord said, Dreamer. I thought, oh, man, I don't want Dreamer.
There it is.
It's kind of like I've told this story before. It's kind of like my son, I've told this story before, Wood. Wood had an angel. He knew his angel. He saw his angel. He knew his angel. He knew his angel's name. And his name was Tall Samson. I thought, that is so cool. When he was a little bitty kid, he had this, his angel's name was Tall Samson. And so I said, well, Wood, ask the Lord what my angel's name is. And he goes, Junior. I got Junior. So I chose to declare and decree that it's Michael Jr. But it's Jr. So Dreamer Jr. But I was bummed out about Dreamer. That sounds irresponsible and yada, yada, yada. It was an administrator, Bill, in case you were wondering. And it's the dreamer. And if you really understand that, do you understand a bit better about how I function? And you won't get near as frustrated with me on an administrative level, because I'm not administrator. I've got people around me who are administrators who I frustrate, but my name God gave me was dreamer. And Livia, I think, would confirm that, really, that my whole world, life is about that. I'm the guy who always thinks the best thing that I've ever experienced or have ever seen is going to happen next. And I'll be that way in the last breath that I take. And the last breath that I take, it'll prove to be true. You know, and I've always told the Lord, I said, Lord, I want the last thing coming out of my mouth. You know, when you're whispering, you're kind of like you're dying, and go, what are you saying? And I'll be saying, more, Lord. More. Because there's always more, right? And so how come, like, the next thing may be the coolest thing in the history of the world, right? Paul's walking down the road, Damascus Road, then that was the coolest thing he'd ever experienced. And Lily gives me a word like, God's going to show you how much you must suffer for his sake. I'm thinking, I don't want you to give me that word. Even if it's the Lord, I don't want to hear that word. I don't do hell and suffering and all that stuff. It happens. You know? Just kidding, Lily, actually. So just understand, so I'm going to share with you, so I'm going to give you some the categories of visions, and I'm going to share some personal stories. I don't do that a lot, but I think it's important. So I'm not bragging. Again, remember, I'm the guy, I laid out more fleece. They created fleece. I had to go to a fleece factory because I ran out of fleece. When God did this thing for me, it was ridiculous, wasn't it, Livia? I drove her crazy. And after a little while, I finally said, okay, I got it. And Olivia's had to go on medication because I just driven her crazy. Well, this can't be true. This is pretentious. How can I say that I'm a prophet to the nation? I mean, it kind of sticks. There are two things that stick in my life. One, when I have to sit in that chair, and if you've ever been around here, you've ever noticed, I rarely ever sit in that chair. It just makes me feel weird. If it doesn't make you feel weird, then you need counseling. It makes me feel weird, so I avoid it. I've had people rebuke me, say, you need to sit in that chair. Well, I'm not. It makes this weird. And I've been a bishop for almost 20 years, and then a prophet to the nations. And it shouldn't be weird. I don't mind calling you a teacher or an evangelist or even an apostle. But something about the prophet thing, you can't say you're a prophet because it just sounds weird and pretentious. So I'm going to share some stories, some stuff, just as examples. This afternoon we'll do a little teaching, but mainly we'll just do activation. Go for it and do some stuff. And Mike's going to be doing those things too, but I had a couple of dreams. I had a great dream last night, and you're going to help me interpret them, okay? Visions come. We mentioned this yesterday, but I'm going to say it again. Things like flashes. It's just a picture will come. So that's what a lot of you were seeing. You're hearing. You were seeing flashes, images. That'll happen a lot in personal words for people that you'll get in vision form. You'll see a flash. It doesn't have to just be personal words, but it's just those, like, you'll even see a flash. Often when people see a flash out of the corner of their eye, there's an angel. And you kind of stop and look, you know, it'd be almost like an angel holding up a picture. A lot of times when I minister words of knowledge or minister prophetically, I'll know where to minister because angels stand behind people. And, you know, it talks about Peter's angel. They thought it was Peter's angel who came to the door, you know, when they were praying for him to get out of jail. That's a good theology. Peter has an angel, you'll have an angel. So a lot of times I'll see, I guess it's people's angel, or I think, and but standing behind somebody, I know, okay, God wants to speak something to them, you know, and there's angelic stuff involved in that. But those little flashes, one of my favorite stories is this years ago, I don't know if it was me or somebody, we were just doing this practice thing. It was a Sunday night. We were practicing the gifts. And somebody had a vision of a piece of peppermint candy in a wrapper. And there was somebody in our church who had been looking for a job for about a year and couldn't find a job. And he had management skills, but he couldn't find a job at all. And there was this vision of I don't remember if it was me or whoever, had this picture of this peppermint candy, but it doesn't matter who it was. And the word for this guy was, I think you're supposed to go tomorrow to Sonic and see if there's a job opening there on the management level, because that's what they do. They did back then. Every time you order something, they give you a little piece of peppermint candy. And so he went the next day, and sure enough, there was a job open. He got a job, first time he had a job in a year or two, because of just a vision of a piece of peppermint candy. That seems silly, but that's the reason I gave you that silly example, because don't ignore those silly little things. And you'll notice again today at Eucharist, yesterday, when I give, most of the time I'll say, I had this vision of, I see this thing on you, and I'll, it could be all kinds of stuff. And the Lord, I just begin to ask the Lord, okay, what is that all about? And, you know, like a wagon wheel, like there's this thing that, like I have a vision right now over Rachel, it's a wagon wheel. And when I see wagon wheels, most of the time it means that there's a hub, and God wants you to center on the hub, focus on the hub, and not the spokes. This is a time for Jesus just to be your focus, your relationship with him, not any other things, ministry, all the other stuff. This is like your big priority, because everything comes out of that like spokes. They're all spokes, but spokes are worthless without the hub. You know, and sometimes like I'll do with this, I'll see like on you. I see this a lot. I'll see barber poles, you know those little things? Barber poles? And this is one of those symbols that are my symbols. And I see that, and it always tells me that that God's calling you into something, and you're well-groomed for it. So don't be nervous or insecure about it, okay? And so little things like that, I see normal stuff. And I'll share with you a little bit, if not this morning, this afternoon. I got my symbol list, and I've got some books that I want to show you, but then there's those things that are my symbols. I was reading the other day some stuff just sort of honing up, and we're talking about the number 14 meaning double portion. But for me, 13's always meant double portion. So I was asking the person who let me borrow their books, because my books always get lent out, and I was saying, I said, oh yeah, 13 means bad stuff, and 14's double portion is 2 sevens. So I was going back over that book, which is my favorite book on symbols, because it's simple. For sure enough, 13 is double portion. But that's not true for everybody, but it's always been for me. See, every time a black cat's ever run in front of me, I always decree that as something good's going to happen to me.
Amen.
So 13 doesn't scare me. I think God redeemed that for me, because I had a tendency, fear is my biggest issue.
Yeah.
And he to take those things out of fear. And I believe that 13, when I see 13s, it's about double portion. Alrighty? So flashes, that's a very common vision. You'll get a lot of that. Every one of you should be able to walk in that. It's just one of the ways that God speaks. Normal conversation. Are you guys getting this? This is what I want you to see more than anything else. Visions and dreams and angels are normal conversation. We have got to be free from that stuff, because if you don't, the minute you get something like that, if you get a verse, you go, oh, that's a verse, that's awesome. You get a vision, you go, well, I don't know. Why? Because, you see, that's so extraordinary. No, it didn't. Again, slam dunk, over the top, 175 to nothing. God made a point in all the most important issues that concern human history. Mary and Joseph and all those came in the form of angels and visions and dreams. Right? God knew what he was doing. The other thing, these glimpses or flashes can occur in like short films. I mentioned that yesterday. Where it's not just a picture, but it's a scene. It didn't last very long, but it's a little short scene. If you get As in Wars, if you read the prophetic stuff that comes, whatever reason, people made fun of me early on. They called me the weatherman, because I get so many things about weather, those of you who read the stuff, or about incidences. So that it involves, a lot of times, you know, like Jeremiah was a prophet of the nations, never went anywhere. But he was the intercessor. And prophetic things so involve intercession. And so I'll post those things, because I draw intercessors into situations that I see in short film, so that they can pray for any schemes of the enemy to not be successful. And hundreds of those things happened to me. The day before the train wreck, I was driving back from Birmingham, and I didn't speak anything. And normally I'll do that, one to be held accountable, the other so we can get the word out. But I'm coming back from a meeting in Fairfield, and the Lord says, there's going to be a train wreck. Now, see, here's the thing where I want to kick myself. So I don't want to be irresponsible, and I don't want to walk in. I want to walk in condemnation. That's not it. But I didn't post that. I didn't get that word out. Now, what if I had of? Maybe it'd have been less damage. You hear me?
Yeah.
It's not just about snowfall and popsicles. It's a big deal. But oh, so many times I'll get these little short films about train wrecks and about horrible events, about different stuff. And I had one guy, it drilled me a lot of time. Why would God give you a word? Why would it come from God about things like that, disasters? I'm going, what about the book of Joel? So intercessors can be involved so people can understand what's going on. There was a season, we had a bunch of tornadoes years ago, and the Lord was just showing me what was happening. And then one day, I'm about to fly to New York City to speak in the church there on a Wednesday night. And the Lord says to me, like on a Tuesday, he said, the spotlight or the, no, I don't think it was spotlight, but the, whatever the word was, is on Massachusetts. And so I posted this word, you know, about that concerning tornadoes, that there's going to be tornadoes going to hit Massachusetts. Well, they hadn't had a tornado since 1960-something. So I'm going up there, and I start to minister and preach on Wednesday night. And while I'm preaching, tornadoes hit Massachusetts. And the man, the church, Bishop Bates, Archbishop Bates, his wife is from Massachusetts. And we had to sit down and talk about that afterwards. That I'd given the word. And part of that was for him to kind of say, kind of nudge him along a little bit about those things, which he's great about. But he would ask me those questions, like, well, why would God, you know, disaster? I said, well, God's doing some things in the earth. Things shaking on the earth represent things shaking in the spirit realm. But also God gives those words so that intercessors can pray. You know, we're in a real world with real battles. So it's not even about, you with me? So I get those things a lot. I'll voice them a lot at our Noon Eucharist and on the about nations and different stuff like that, seasons. And it's on As and Or, as you can go back. I was going to go and look at some of those things and share more of them, but I ran out of time. But that happens to me for some reason. That's the way I usually get those kind of words. Are short films. Okay? Well, yeah, we were in Tanzania, and they had an open-air crusade we were going to do out in this field, this old soccer field. They use as a soccer field in a neighborhood area. And there were hundreds of people, I don't know, 400 or 500 people maybe, 300 or 500 people. But we were going to go, but that morning before we went, we got together and prayed. And for whatever reason, that day, we used the prayer book, which is a good thing to do, but we used the prayer book to do. We don't always do that when they're there. And the scripture was about rainbows. And I just told them, I said, this is a significant thing, this thing about rainbows and whatever. So we go there to minister, because we're going to pray for the sick and, you know, give people a chance to get saved and fill the spirit, that kind of thing. And we saw two girls that were deaf, young girls, get healed, and all kinds of cool stuff go on. But when we got out of our cars in this field, they had built this nice stage for us to stand on. And we get out of our car and we step, we take a step up on the stage. When I started to speak, this rainbow appears in the background. And it's a bow that goes all the way across the sky. And it stayed there the whole time we ministered. And all kinds of signs and wonders happened. It was so bright, brightest rainbow I've ever seen, all the way across the sky. And then afterwards we played, and I got hundreds of kids, taught them how to say Roll Tide. We have that. They can't speak English, but they can say Roll Tide. And screaming Roll Tide. And so we were all done, and the moment I stepped off, the people left, I was the last one on stage, I stepped off the stage and a rainbow went, just disappeared. But it's God's way of telling us, and we told the story for them to know God's here, and God's doing stuff, you know. So that's but it wasn't a vision, that was just a miracle. Yeah. Yeah, it was blue skies when we started. There's open visions. I talked about that yesterday. Open visions were like it's like a movie screen. And that's the thing that goes on in my life all the time. Somebody asked me yesterday, do I have dreams or have visions? And I said, yes. I dream every night of my life, and I have visions that constantly go. That's not a boast. Lord, I don't want to offend the Lord. It's irritating, actually, because it's distracting. And I feel guilty that I ignore it, but I got to do other things. But it's just always been there. And after all these years, I'm still trying how to steward that. My intercessors pray for me. How do I steward that? How am I to be responsible prophetically and yet be responsible for all the other stuff I do? And so I think God's putting some people in place that helps me, which is amazing, but it's going to happen more. There's so many things in terms of the open vision stuff. Sometimes they last for days. The same vision will just go on for days and days, and if I get in my car, there it is. And if I hear, there it is. And I've had two visions. Part of it is because I haven't been able to stop and like hear the Lord. And one was, I told you yesterday about the two jet planes, one of them with the tail of smoke or whatever that is. It's yellow. It's an American plane. I can't make out with the other, and they're kind of playing games with each other. But the other one, yesterday afternoon, I'm driving home, and I see this big tree. And this tree goes way up, and on top there's like this canopy of green stuff, and there's like a little city up there, and there's life and all kinds of stuff. And then there's these monkeys at the bottom of the tree, but they can't climb the tree. I thought, these are monkeys. And I said, Lord, what is this going on? And this I did. Sometimes it's simple. He said, there's a bunch of people in the prophetic world that are just monkeying around. Sure. And you got to be able to discern that. They can't climb the tree. There's no anointing on them where life is going on. They're just monkeying around. That's the simple stuff. And so in promoting the prophetic, we also have to walk in wisdom, don't we? Because there's just some guys out there and girls who are just monkeying around. And the main way you can tell that is it's all about them. The spirit of the prophecy is a testimony of Jesus. If it's not about Jesus, it doesn't promote Jesus. If it's a novelty that kind of promotes them as a novelty, it's usually not God.
Amen.
You know? Cornelius's experience was an open vision. A screen that happened kind of like. There are a number of those in the Bible. And I'll share some more of these things later. Trances. That would be what Peter experienced. And the word trance there is the word that we get ecstasy from. So I have a good example for that here, and that's my dear friend Lily. Lily and Aaron both have a monastic background in terms of deep intercession. Aaron was a Roman Catholic a Benedictine monk for 13 years. Lily was a form of a sort of Anglican nun who was attached to a place that prayed and stuff. And so God brought them together. So there's a very wonderful, I think, beautiful, mystical thing about them. Charismatics, they had that pastoral, monastic kind of thing about them. And I've told Aaron, I said, I'm waiting for Aaron. I said, Aaron, wear your habit, bro. You know, wear your habit. That's a sign and a symbol. You know, I have a cross that I wear. Some of you have seen it. It's about that big. It's an old antique cross given to me at my consecration. And it's got a huge crucifix on it. You know, because I had to get set free from the spirit of religion that said, you know, well, Jesus isn't still on that cross. And I go, well, do you ever have Christmas creche stuff, you know, baby Jesus in the crib during Easter or Christmas? Well, yeah. Well, he ain't in the crib anymore either. What's wrong with you? Of course I know he isn't, but you know, he was slain before the foundation of the world. It's a perpetual reality in the heart of God.
That's right.
And every Eucharist, that one-time event isn't repeated, but it's made present. He's timeless. And so I wear that big one usually when I go into Protestant environments, because it's, I call it my in-your-face Protestant cross. Because I'm going to tell you, the meanest, orneriest, nastiest religious spirit is the anti-religious spirit, religious spirit.
Amen. It is.
It is. They are just so intolerant. That's not the heart of a religious spirit. Some of the freest, nonchalant, oh yeah, no rules, no nothing. They're the most intolerant of all. And anybody who has a rule or has a structure or has this, it's just... God help us all grow up, right?
Come on.
Let me just say to you, Jesus likes country music. He likes symphony music. He likes rock and roll. If it's honoring, he likes it all.
Amen.
Here's the test. Is the presence of Jesus here? Well, if he feels okay about it and seems to be hanging out there, then it's okay for you to hang out there.
Yep.
Because I'm going to tell you a terrible secret. We all see through a glass darkly, and regardless of what you think, your way is heretical just like mine is. And one of the days we're all going to repent and go, Lord, we were all heretics. But we were having fun trying to love you. Anyway. And having a CC church in Selma. You know, I love Selma. Selma's awesome. It's not like New York City. I tell you, it's like having a sushi bar and a Kentucky Fried Chicken. I mean, if you wanted to be a church growth principal, you could do nothing worse than have a charismatic Episcopal church. What can I do to tick off the Protestants, tick off the Catholics, tick off everybody?
The Pentecostals?
Oh, yeah. How dare us call ourselves Pentecostal? Everything we do offends somebody.
Amen.
And I just wanted to put on my grave, he was a really nice guy. I thought, Lord, what? I should have known. You really want to use me to tick off people. I've always wanted to do. But Lily, if you watch her at Eucharist, people think that she's just going out in the spirit. That's not what's happening. She's going into a trance, an ecstasy, like Saint Teresa of Avila, Saint John of the Cross. We've had many people throughout history, and every time she takes Eucharist, she goes out into an ecstasy experience where she has visions and dreams and God speaks to her. She never talks about them because they're very holy. I'll ask her to sometimes because she'll get things for the body of Christ too. But it's not something she promotes as a novelty. And it's not like us normally when we go out in the Spirit. It's a different kind of thing. It's a trance. And every time she receives Eucharist, if it's 100 times a day, Lily goes into a trance. That's very biblical. Peter, on this rock I shall build. You see what I'm saying? Out-of-body experiences. In every book you read, they have different categories, but this is like what Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 12 when he was taken up into the third heavens, and he said, whether I was in my body or out of my body, I do not know. When this thing first happened to me 12 years ago, this explosive thing and the prophetic, that year, that happened to me a bunch. I had a bunch of what people call third heaven experiences where I saw all kinds of cool stuff. But it doesn't happen hardly anymore. It was one of the ways of God just radicalizing me about the prophetic that first year. But in the apartment that we have, I would go there. The Lord would tell me to lay down on the floor. I would lay down on the floor or even lay down on the bed. And we would just go some places and show me some stuff. That's how God did the final healing touch about the child that we lost. We knew that when we first got married, within 6 weeks she got pregnant, and for 7 weeks, after that she began to bleed, had problems. We got prophetic words. We even got them off of TV. You know what I'm saying? If it's on TV, it's got to be real, right? And so, but after 7 weeks, she lost the baby. 12 weeks?
11.
Yeah. Okay. 11 weeks. Yeah, because you. So anyway, it was a really tough place. We walked through it and got good and. And see, we didn't junk everything prophetic. Livia wanted to at first. Because on the TV, there's like Pat Robertson going, there's somebody out there, you've been pregnant this long, you're having complications, this is what's going on, you're going to be healed. And she wasn't. What brought us back to a place of safety is, all I know is that he's good, Livia.
Yeah.
And that he's big. Yeah. And I'm not going to let our baby's life that be wasted. Because he or she at that time we laid our life down for us that we might know him. And I'm not going to waste their death. And that kind of brought us out of a funk. Let's stand on what we know that we know that we know. But here we are radically going for this stuff because just because something happened and I don't understand, that doesn't change anything. So one of those experiences, kind of out-of-body experiences, and whether I'm in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But I'm in this realm before the throne of God, and I see these people in a circle, and they're praying, and they're kind of going around in a circle, like they're almost playing a game, but they're praying. And I looked over, And I saw this boy. He looked a little bit like Luke, but his hair wasn't that red. And and Lord told us earlier, years before, that it was a boy, and we gave him the name John. He was our first child. And I saw this thing going on, and all of a sudden I saw this boy who was like a teenager turn and look at me. And he was praying for us, praying for me, and I knew that was John. It was so cool. It was so personal and so cool. I didn't talk about that for a long time. I mean, I did Livia. But those are the kind of things that happened to me. I thought, this is so awesome. A lot of times I found myself on the sea of glass. It was like I was at a worship service. And that sea of glass mixed with fire, it was kind of like it was translucent. It was, you stood in it, but you stood in it. It was weird. It was firm, but you were in it. Not just on it, at least up to some point. And the worship, and then the throne area, and the rainbows, and the lightning, and angels. It was just the coolest time in the world. Most of the time, that's what happened. One time, I was there, and I suddenly found myself in a warehouse. I may have told this story last year. And there was this warehouse full of boxes, and this angel was walking me around. It was in heaven. And now, I don't know if these were all just things that represent heaven, if heaven's going to actually look like that. I don't know. I know God fashioned, it says about Ezekiel that God fashioned a word for him. God fashions things for each of us. He knows your personality. Remember, he's an artist.
Yes.
He's a poet. What does it say in Ephesians 2:10? That we're his workmanship. And you know that word is the word for poem. And so I was walking this warehouse and the Lord, and they all had names in these big boxes. And there was like cancer and headache and fibromyalgia and on and on and on, all these different names. But colds and stuff like that. And then he said, he took me over to this place where it had like, you know, multiple sclerosis and spina bifida and cancer. And there was a bunch of those boxes, a bunch of them. There weren't as many boxes of the other. There was different stuff. I said, Lord, so I just said, what is this all about? And he said, we get requests for things like headaches and colds all the time. So we're always shipping out healings for that. But we don't get as many people asking us for cancer and spina bifida and multiple sclerosis because it's easy for them to believe. And I realized that it's like every time somebody prays in faith, they're putting in a PO, a purchasing order. And we don't put in a purchasing order. We give up too easy. It really blessed me because I thought, man, heaven's full of answers to cancers and multiple sclerosis and all those hard things, and we're still contending to that place because the warehouse in heaven's got boxes and boxes of healings. And the angel was like a little frustrated. We want to send some of this out. We want to ship these things out. The warehouse is full of this stuff. It was amazing to me. And that was just symbolic form of God saying to me, I can heal cancer just as easy as I can heal a headache. The problem's not on our end. We got boxes full of the healing for cancer. God needs to do some shifts in us. And then I'll put this in this category too, and that is signs. One of the things about the seer gifts is that you see things and you just begin to speak prophetically about it. This happened just recently. I did a wedding last Saturday. And at the wedding last Saturday, I usually wear these tennis shoes, or I have a new pair like this. Oh, look, check this. This is one of the reasons anointing. I knew today God's presence was going to be really powerful. Why yesterday? Because I wore my Superman socks. See, Jesus is Superman. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I want one of those.
Well, I'll get you some.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
Because Jesus, Superman, is with us in a profound way today. Ready? And so, I usually wear my black tennis shoes. It's just, I'm 62, and I can if I want to. They want me to do the service. They're gonna have to put up with the black tennis shoes, and they're nice tennis shoes. But going to this wedding was outdoors. For some reason, I had this sense. You know, I probably need to wear better shoes. So I fished through these old shoes that I have. They're Echoes, good shoes. I wore them around the world a gazillion times. So I'm gonna wear those. And because they just look nicer. And because this is a couple I really didn't know well, and I just wanted to, so I put those shoes on. But I noticed even walking out of the car, man, those things are really worn on the side. You know, I thought, well. And but by the time I got to the wedding, it was an outdoor wedding, I started walking around. I began to see something flopping, and the shoes had totally blown out. Blown out. I mean, just Shelby saw them, just rags, and pieces were coming off of them. And I'm thinking, how am I going to walk down the little aisle they created for the wedding? I said, this is embarrassing. Because I know they're going to see. You can't miss that with stuff hanging to the side. I'm pulling parts off the bottom. And both of them just blew out. Oh, what am I going to do? Finally, Roland Truman gave me, he went home and got a pair of his shoes, which were like size 75. Those shoes weighed like 1,000 pounds. So I just was shifting through, but I wasn't going to fall. If I had fallen, my ankles would have just snapped because those shoes weren't going anywhere. I was just going. And so I say, Lord, why did you let me do those shoes? I didn't get the right shoes till 5 minutes before the thing started. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, and I gave this word Sunday morning. I said, it was a prophetic word, not just for me, but for the body of Christ. And that we'll post on Aslan when I get some time. And he said, it's time to put away your old shoes. This is a new season. You're going to need new shoes. And they're going to be running shoes if you're going to keep up with my purposes. Because it's happening so fast. You can't wear the same shoes. You can't, what you've done in the past, you're not going to be doing now.
Right.
So you can't wear the old shoes. I'd been around the world. I've been to Africa a gazillion times with those shoes. And they're meant to last. But God said, you can't wear those old shoes. You can't walk where you walked before. It's a whole new walk, and you need running shoes with them.
So
I gave that word Sunday morning, and then Father Aaron, he stands up, and his shoes, which were old shoes, the Lord had told him that morning to wear new shoes. He had not heard this word. He wore old shoes instead, and they blew out. His shoes blew out. While I was giving that word, his shoes blew out. He didn't have any new shoes, so he went the next day and bought him some new shoes. But isn't it an amazing coincidence that his shoes would blow out during that day? Because God's saying to us, put away your old shoes. You can't walk where you've walked before. You're in a new place. ma'am, sir? Shoes. It's sort of like new wineskins, but it's shoes. Chocolate tastes better with new shoes. We're always back to chocolate. If you want to try this out, can't hurt you because there's no caffeine in it. Go to the coffee shop, go through the drive-thru, or go in and say, I want one of Bishop's coffees. It'll be the best thing you've ever had in your entire life. Coffee shop. Go out here to Broad Street, the main street, turn left, look for the star. Okay, but bring gifts, or you won't get a coffee. It's a chocolate star. Well, all righty, that's my story. At least today I'm sticking to it, and we'll do some more this afternoon. And so let's get ready for Eucharist. Amen.